Just have a thought that's been with me for the last couple of weeks that I can't shake, and I want to share it with you tonight. Won't be too long. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Thank you, Lord, that you can cause your word to fall on good ground, and that's our cry tonight, continually, that you would cause your word to fall on good soil in our hearts, that it would bring forth fruit a hundredfold. I thank you for the men and women that are here tonight, those that have joined us online, those that you are truly moving upon, those that you have stirred, those that you have called, those that you have appointed for such a time as this, God, to make a difference in this generation. I thank you for each one. I pray tonight as we seek your face, Lord, as we spend time with you, Lord, as we bear the burdens of others in your heart, that you would continue to strengthen us. Thank you that you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. The scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you can turn there if you have a Bible. You can turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But as you turn there, I just want to give you a little bit of background as to what's going on here. Paul is concerned about the church in Corinth in this particular city, and so he writes to them. He had established a church during one of his missionary journeys, and he had written a letter to them before addressing some of the things that were going on there. And then he writes them a second letter. And in this second letter, he's excited that they've addressed some of the issues and problems that were there among the believers, but other things have risen up. And so he wanted to encourage them, but he also wanted to admonish them to be very careful about some of the things that had come into their midst. And so he begins to warn them about certain doctrinal errors. He begins to instruct them in matters of Christian duty. He begins to express the joy that they had heeded his instructions in the first letter. But he also begins to defend his authority as an apostle against the attacks of legalistic teachers that had begun to creep into the body and who had sought to undermine his work, and disrupt his work there. And as you read the book, you find that the main theme of the book is basically to remain faithful to Christ in all things. And so some scholars say that in chapter 3 through chapter 6, verse 10, Paul shares one of the most extensive insights in the New Testament on what is true character of the Christian ministry. What is the true character of the Christian ministry? What is the nature of Christian ministry? Where it stems from? And so what I want to do tonight is begin to look at what he points out in chapter 5 concerning the heart of Christian ministry, because I believe we are all called to ministry. I believe we're all called to minister to God, amen, in praise and worship and adoration and service to him, but we're also called to minister to one another. We're called to minister to a lost and dying world, amen. And so we're all called to ministry, whether it's full-time ministry in working for a church, or full-time ministry working for some employer but still living for Christ in the name of the Lord Jesus and being a light in your workplace. Amen. And so full-time ministry is not just working for a church, but it's wherever you are, letting your light shine before men that they might glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. But in chapter 5, verse 13, he says this: if it seems like we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. You might look at us and think we're crazy, but he said, I'm living for Christ, and it's to bring glory to God. He says as well, if it seems like we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. It's to minister to you. He says, either way, verse 14, Christ's love controls us. And that's the phrase I haven't been able to get away from for the past couple of weeks. Christ's love controls us. Christ's love is what urges us on, which is what motivates us, is what impels us, is what moves us forward. It's Christ's love in us that animates us and causes us to do the things we're doing. Hallelujah. It's the love of God. He's saying this love of God has gripped my life. And it at times it might mean, you know, your love for God. But it mostly really means his love for us. The love that we've experienced in Christ moves us. It animates us. Hallelujah. It causes us to do certain things, to walk a certain way, to talk a certain way, to sing a certain way, to believe a certain way. Are you with me tonight? Even in the midst of suffering, it's his love that urges us to live in a certain way. For example, living for the benefit of others, which is the theme at our Bible school summit. But folks, this is something that God does in you and I on a daily basis. And you'll see it as we go on because Paul goes through some stuff. How many of you have gone through some stuff as you've walked with God? You've just gone through things. Amen. I see one person, two people. Okay, I'm seeing more hands now. The rest of you must be new converts, and maybe you were born again today and you haven't gone through anything yet. He says it's his love that motivates us, that urges us, that moves us on, even in the midst of trials and sufferings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, you don't need to turn there, but he says, preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. I'm compelled by God to do it. So you see, it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. It's something that God is doing in the Apostle Paul. It's something that God does in us that causes us to look away from ourselves. It's God's love that causes us to look away from our own struggles, our own battles, the drama, the stuff we go through, right? To live for the benefit of others, to minister to others, to even come into God's house on a Tuesday night when you might have worked hard all day. And you come on a Tuesday night, you come here early, you give your burdens to the Lord when the doors are open at 5:30, 6 o'clock, you're here, 6:30, you're just giving your burdens to the Lord so that once we go online live at 7 o'clock, that we can pray for those who have joined us over the internet. So we can pray for others. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Christ's love controls us. It compels us. You know, I want to thank God for all of you who continue to join us on Tuesday evenings to pray for the needs of others. It's evident that the Lord has called you and you've responded to that call. You've responded to the call. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And you've responded to that call. And I thank God for you tonight. You are using the most powerful right and weapon we have as believers to affect change in this generation for the glory of our great God and King Jesus Christ. Are you with me tonight? What is that weapon? Prayer. Prayer. Prayer moves the hand of God. God's ordained it that way. When we pray, God moves. God saves. God delivers. God heals. God dispatches angels, I believe, to go into crack dens, to go into bars, to go into movie theaters, hallelujah, to go into offices. Folks, I think of when Abraham prayed for his nephew Lot, who was in Sodom, a place that was destined to be destroyed, right? And he prays for him, and what happens? God dispatches angels. I said, God dispatches angels to go get Lot. And if you read the story, the Bible says Lot lingered. He was lingering. But the angels grabbed him and dragged him out of Sodom. Said, it's time to go. It's time to go. Folks, your prayers make a difference. Hallelujah. It is God's love that motivates us, that compels us, that controls us, the Apostle Paul said. In the last days, as the love of many grows cold, may we continually be motivated by Christ's love more and more, folks. That's my prayer. That's my cry from my own heart, The apostle goes on to say, he says, the love of Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. We've died to our old life. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Galatians 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this in this earthly life by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Did you hear me tonight? He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. We no longer live for ourselves. We don't live for ourselves. Hallelujah. We don't live for ourselves, folks. Romans 14, verse 7 says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. If we die, it's to honor the Lord. Or whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Hallelujah. Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 5, same chapter, says this means that anybody who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. It's supernatural. I said it's supernatural. We are a new creation in Christ. Through the creative command of God, those who accept Jesus Christ by faith are made into a new person with a renewed knowledge and understanding of the kingdom of God, of the things of God, of the purposes of God. Jesus said to a man named Nicodemus, you must be born again. When you are born again, then you can see, then you can perceive, then you can understand the things of God. Suddenly the light comes on. Suddenly you're God conscious. Suddenly, like a cell phone, you've got five bars spiritually. Hallelujah. Suddenly there's a signal from heaven. Are you with me tonight? Suddenly you can sense God's presence. Suddenly you can hear his voice speaking to you clearly. Hallelujah. A new life begins. Praise God. Verse 18 says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has reconciled us to himself. He made a way so that we could be restored to fellowship with him. God wanted you and I to be his children, to be his friends, to be reconciled to him. Hallelujah. He did all this, folks. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation as a result. Verse 18, the latter part, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we began. In verse 18, it says, this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. He's given us this task of reconciling people to him. God has given us this task. Our sins alienated us, separated us from God, and made us deserving of his wrath. But God, through Christ's atoning death, removed the barrier of sin and opened a way for us to return to God. We are reconciled to God the moment we personally repent and place our faith in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. But then he gives us this ministry of reconciliation. Suddenly we're made ambassadors of this good news. Ambassadors of Christ. Somebody say ambassador. Ambassadors of Christ. So we are Christ's ambassadors. Verse 20, same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, this is why we are motivated, we are urged, we are moved by the love of Christ. Christ has transformed our lives, and suddenly his love that has so embraced us, so welcomed us, so rescued us, so delivered us, so directs us, so heals us, so embraces us. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. His love that never leaves us, that never forsakes us, that pursues us. Praise God, has touched us, moves us, motivates us to pray for others, motivates us to reach out to others. As Pastor David shared so eloquently on Sunday morning, moves us, folks, like those men who went and got the lame man, those four men, and brought him to Jesus, right? Brought him to Jesus so that he could be healed. It's God's love, and that's what I want to pray for tonight. I want to pray for baptism of God's love tonight for each and every one of us as we go forward, folks, in this generation, because I tell you, love is getting scarcer and scarcer. You see it on the airwaves. You see it in the news. Folks, it's all about me, myself, and I, right, in this day and age we're living in. It's dog eat dog. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. People are just looking out for themselves. But we are to be different. By this shall they know that you are my disciples. When you go on into chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talks about the fact that we serve God faithfully by the power of the Holy Spirit, even in the midst of our difficulties and trials. And I want to end here where he reading these verses. This is chapter 6, the very next chapter. And starting from verse 3, he says, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us. He reiterates the source of his strength by the Holy Spirit within us and by our sincere love, insinuating that those who had crept in, wanting to draw people after themselves, wanting to undermine the work that God had begun through the Apostle Paul, were not sincere. They were selfish. And he says, but it's the love of God who motivates us. We're not looking to make ourselves anything or to draw people after ourselves. We're here to point people to Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying here. Hallelujah. Verse 7, we faithfully preach the truth. God's power working in us. There it is again. We use the weapons of righteousness on the right hand for attack, on the left hand for defense. We serve God, verse 8, whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we haven't been killed. Hallelujah. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We are poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We own nothing, yet we have everything. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Folks, live or die, I am the Lord's. I belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. Hallelujah.